Our passage this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Let us pray. God Almighty, we thank you for this moment where you will make the invisible visible to us once again. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the children and the students and the backpacks and the prayers and the laughter and even technology snafus. We thank you. You are an awesome God. May this worship continue to be pleasing in your sight, and may our hearts be open to receive your word. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's people said, amen. I could not hear you.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're done. I am unsure of who said this, but I certainly don't remember when it was. But as with most things on social media, it magically appeared within my news feed. As we continue to explore faith in action, it seemed appropriate for today. In the midst of the stories and prayers on Facebook, this quote came in simple form. It was a statement that was not meant to challenge. It seemed as a matter of fact. It seemed to serve as an easy reminder of what it means to be connected to God. The post said something like this: faith is like Wi-Fi. It is invisible, but has the power to connect you to whatever you need. Now, I don't know about you, but if any of you have Wi-Fi, have access to it, tried to connect to it on any given day and failed miserably, you know Wi-Fi can be a bit sketchy. It can be hacked when unprotected. It can be slow, it can go down for hours, even days, it can be intermittent, it can be ignored by some because it is not a daily addiction. See, Wi-Fi for me is a daily addiction. I am guilty of it. I have to admit that when I first came here to Cokesbury, I asked Shirley for the Wi-Fi code, and then I asked her for the sick and shut-in list. It probably should have been the other way around. I told you I am guilty. But as we know, Wi-Fi can also be a reliable source for a steady connection. Our faith at times can seem to be unreliable, sketchy, slow, intermittent, and disconnected. But unlike Wi-Fi, our faith is an expression of not only of our love and trust in an almighty God, but the love and the trust of the great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us. So let us pause and sit here for a moment. I like to do that a lot in sermons. Sometimes we're rushing through thinking about brunch and lunch and shopping and all these things, but we're gonna sit here. At some point in time, you may have heard these phrases. You can have enough faith for the both of us. People have said that often to me, and it's always left me scratching my head. You don't need to do anything. Your faith is enough. When things don't work out, you may have heard, they didn't work out because you didn't have enough faith. I want to let you know in this moment that those are not words of an almighty God. As we live into what it means to have faith in action, as we live into what it means to be rich toward God, as we look ahead, seeing the invisible, our challenge today is to look beyond the notion that I've already heard this before and tune this message out. See, our challenge today is to stay connected to this scripture for the first time or the umpteenth time with a new and fresh perspective, and to see beyond what we know, because our text this morning is one of the most frequently quoted verses of scripture. We often use it to define faith. But friends, I want you to know this morning, in order for us to move forward, we need to first go back. The epistle to the Hebrews have some of the most often quoted passages in the New Testament. There's a lot about this document that remains unknown. The Apostle Paul is attributed to writing this letter, but in truth, it is most likely due to his particular style of writing that he did not. We do not know about the recipients or the first readers. We do not know where they were. We do not know if they were Jews or Gentiles or a mixture of both. But the words of Origen, a third century Christian scholar, permeate through time. He said, "But who wrote the epistle? In truth, only God knows." So here we are in a text, having no real idea of who, where, or when. And we are being challenged in this very moment, before we move any further, to see the invisible. We just don't know. Some believe Hebrews is not a letter, but a sermon. And as one theologian writes, it's really about a congregation that is exhausted. They are tired. Tired of serving the world, tired of worship, tired of Christian education, tired of being peculiar and whispered about in society, tired of the spiritual struggle, tired of trying to keep their prayer life going. I keep asking myself, was this an email I received a couple days ago or written a long time ago? In chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "Their hands droop and their knees are weak." In chapter 10, verse 25, "Attendance is down and they are losing their confidence." How long ago was this letter written? Because we hear the same things today. In order to see the invisible, we have to glance back. In order to move forward, this is our faith in action, our first move. This letter or sermon serves as an encouragement to a group of people where many of them are considering taking a walk, leaving the community, and falling away from the faith. We are being challenged today to grow deeper and see the invisible. Our faith in action sends us back to bear witness to what is in the past, and to hear these words in 2019. Hebrews was written for all of us. Chapter 10, verse 31 through 39 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But recall those earlier years when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves carried something better and more lasting. Do not therefore abandon that confidence of yours. It is a great reward, for you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost. But we are among those who have faith and so are saved. This sounds like it could have been written today, huh? It wasn't. It's the author of Hebrews. It's the movement of the Holy Spirit through the scripture landing right here in our laps. I could say to each of you that there's nothing new under the sun. I won't. Maybe I just did. But hear this. We are not among the ones who shrink back. We are not among the ones who are not rich toward God. We are not among the ones who lack compassion. We are not among the ones who shun justice. We are among the ones who have faith and have a deep love for God and for God's people. See, faith is not a generality or an assumption. Faith is a mystery and cannot be fully defined. Faith is the journey of our spiritual life. Faith is the very being of God's promises. Faith is imagination in courage. And faith, according to theologian Catherine Brooks, is the tension between the journey and arriving. Faith is an expression of our love toward God. Faith is calling us to see the invisible and to follow God into places that we may not know the end. Faith is taking our prayers and sending them with little children and backpacks to impact a school and a family. Faith is our presence in this sacred space, knowing that God will transform our hearts. Faith is our gifts and our service, our ministry in music, our ability to worship. Faith is knowing that Christ is with us no matter what. This is our faith in action. See, our faith is connected to our hopes. I want you to know right now that your faith matters. It matters. We yearn through our prayers for jobs and well-rounded children and good neighbors. We yearn in our prayers for perfect health. And in faith, we seek God's intervention when things are not going as planned. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it takes a bit longer. Sometimes we may never see the fruit of our labor. But our faith says we be still and know that God is present. See the invisible. See, like the first readers of Hebrews, we wait. But we shouldn't be waiting for an answer from God. We should be waiting for God's return. And as we wait, we should be serving. As we wait, we should be giving. As we wait, we should be studying. As we wait, we should be worshiping. As we wait, we should be serving. See the invisible. There is tension between the journey and arriving. I know it is difficult to follow God when we have no clue where God is leading us. Our faith is not in one another. Our faith is not in this building. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in an almighty God. Our faith is in the movement of the Holy Spirit. Our faith says that we as God's people will bring people to Christ and Christ to people. Our faith says that God will live into that promise by using each and every one of us. See, faith is our opportunity. It is an opportunity for us to respond to God's grace no matter where we go. The first three verses in Hebrews 11 is the active sense of faith. It is the conviction. It is the assurance that our faith gives substance to things that are not visible, but are present. Our faithfulness is not about our future. Let me say that one more time. Our faithfulness is not about our future. It is about eternity. But do we have enough faith and trust in God to see the invisible and to follow God into the unknown? I say yes, because faith gives us a space to comprehend what's not known. This passage with us as witnesses to the faith of those who have gone before us should be enough. If you read a little bit further down, you will see that the author gives us a model or the inner workings of believers who have lived a life of faith. He mentions Noah and Abraham, Sarah and Enoch, Jacob and Isaac. He mentions these narratives of those who walked by faith, producing a faith line that is linear and extends all the way to us sitting here this morning. It includes those who have discerned during the time before we came to this place that there would be a church sitting here called Cokesbury. It reaches out to those in the community that have looked to us for help and received it. It is the faith of those that have gone before us that continues to catapult us into the future where God is waiting. See the invisible. We are a community of faith. We are witnesses to what's happened here in Cokesbury. You did not have to be present. You do not have to know the stories. You just need to sit here and know that something happened back there to bring us here, and it was Jesus Christ. See the invisible. There's really not a lot more to say. Except for that, we are witnesses to what has taken place. And for those who come behind us, they will bear witness to the faith that we have. They will bear witness to us bringing people to Christ and Christ to people. They will bear witness to our faith as we discern how God is calling us into the world. They will bear witness to what's happening in this space right now. They will bear witness. But until then, we see the invisible and we follow God. We are the witnesses to those in the past. We are those answered prayers to a community in need. Us. Me. In you, we are the witnesses to life as we hear a baby playing. We are the witnesses to what God has next for us because of what they did for us. So as we sit here praying about what it means to see the invisible, really where God is calling us in our faith, I want you to think about all those people that prayed for you. I want you to think about all those people that prayed that we would be in this space making a difference in our community. I want you to think about those parents and grandparents and friends and neighbors who prayed for you to have a faith that was unimaginable. I want you to think about what it means to be a gift from God. I want you to think about the joy of hearing new life. So be still. We have work to do. Let us see the invisible and follow a powerful God. Because what is invisible to us, God will make known. So sit and reflect and be still. This is what it means to see the invisible. Where is God calling us? How is God calling us? So think about this. Let us be rich toward God. Let us see the invisible and move anyway. And let us know that we are not among those who shrink back and are lost, but we are among those who have faith and are saved. So for one last time, I want you to hear these words. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. So this day, that's not a regular passage that's quoted all the time. It is a passage that will open our hearts to see the invisible and to remember those who had the faith that has brought us here today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for faithful living. We thank you for bringing us just a little closer to you. May we lead a life of love and compassion and faithfulness, not because we're looking into the future, but because we know the faithful have led us here from our past. We will follow you, Christ. You lead the way. Open our eyes to be able to see you at work and not try to reinvent the wheel, but to discern where you are calling us. Faithful living is unpredictable. It is an adventure. And sometimes it's a little bit scary. But we know that you are with us all the way, just like you were with those who went before us, just like we are with one another. We thank you for the movement of your Holy Spirit. May we respond with passion and commitment, love and generosity. Help us to see the invisible. We thank you, God, for this time of worship. May it be pleasing unto you. And may we serve you with all of our heart, our mind, our bodies, and our souls. You are an awesome God. Use us for your glory. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So in this moment, we normally stand to sing our final worship song. But I want you to know that this altar is open for prayer. And I want to challenge you to just sit still and worship God from the seat of humbleness. And if all of this faith talk, it doesn't make any sense, come talk to myself or Reverend Ashley. We would love to journey with you. But for now, the altar is open. Come and pray. Open your hearts to a living, awesome, almighty God, knowing that God is with you and has also gone before you. Let us worship.